I'm Nancy Solomon, in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. This week, the trial of Derek Chauvin continues. He's a former Minneapolis police officer on trial for the killing of George Floyd. And witnesses this week continue to denounce Chauvin's actions, including Chief of the Minneapolis Police Department, Madaria Arredondo.
Once there was no longer any resistance, and clearly when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
For more on what we heard this week, we're joined by Brant Williams, a correspondent for Minnesota Public Radio News who covers public safety, criminal justice, and racial disparities. Welcome back, Brant.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I want to start by playing another clip for you. Here's a question from the prosecutor to Lieutenant Johnny Mercil, the use of force instructor for the Minneapolis Police Department.
And so if there was, say, for example, the subject was under control and handcuffed, would this be authorized?
I would say no.
So here they're talking about, of course, it's Chauvin putting his knee on Floyd's neck. So, Brant, how significant is it to hear the testimony from all of these police officers?
Well, it sounds like it's a prosecution's goal to show jurors that even members of the Minneapolis Police Department thought that Chauvin's actions were out of bounds. Now, as you're probably aware, it's generally difficult for prosecutors to get convictions of police officers who are charged with on-duty crimes. So it may be that, you know, they're trying to show jurors that, you know, yes, cops, even though you give police officers the benefit of the doubt when they are, you know, the ones on the defense, but also you can use police officers and their experience to show that that officer as the defendant, what they did was not according to what they're trained to do.
We also heard on Monday from the emergency room doctor who tried to save Floyd's life before pronouncing him dead. What did the doctor say about the cause of death?
So Dr. Langenfeld said that while drugs like methamphetamines and fentanyl could cause a person to have a lack of oxygen, he felt that even if the paramedics had applied something like Narcan, which is used to revive people who are suffering from overdoses, he said George Floyd's heart was not displaying any ability to pulse, to pump blood on its own. And so Narcan would not have helped him.
Has the defense had anything to say about whether it was Chauvin's actions that were the cause of death?
Yes. Well, the defense has been trying to say that Chauvin was actually doing what officers are trained to do, and by holding George Floyd while they waited for paramedics to come, that was something that officers are trained to do. The defense has been trying to show has been a hostile crowd situation, and that their actions, his actions and the actions of the other officers, were in line with how officers are supposed to assess the situation. And if they feel like they are under a possible threat, perhaps from a crowd, that they need to hold their position and to have uncuffed George Floyd and to have tried to apply medical attention to him at that point. The defense is trying to show that that's something that officers have to do their own assessment of, and that perhaps they felt like they were not in a safe position to do that.
So let's hear from an expert witness the state called in, Sergeant Jody Steiger, a use of force expert at the Los Angeles Police Department.
When you reviewed the body-worn cameras, did you see anybody throw any rocks or bottles?
No, I did not.
Did you see anyone physically attack the officers?
No, I did not.
Did you hear foul language or name calling?
There was some name calling, yes, but and some foul language, but that was about the most of it.
Did that factor into your analysis?
No.
Why not?
Because I did not perceive them as being a threat.
And why is that?
Because they were merely filming, and they were, most of it was their concern for Mr. Floyd.
So this is the prosecution really going at the defense's central argument, right? They're basically laying the groundwork for being able to show the jury the crowd control was not enough of an issue to take the actions that they took against George Floyd.
Correct. And that was something that the state, as they were questioning their witnesses, were trying to bring out that, yes, officers face all kinds of situations and they should be prepared to do what they're supposed to do, render aid to someone who needs it, and do that even though people may be yelling at them. Again, officers are often faced in positions where they have to take somebody into custody. It's not going to look good to people who are observing, but they're trying to say that this is part of the job, and Chauvin and these other officers were trained in knowing how to do that.
And have we yet to hear any testimony that contradicts what this expert witness from Los Angeles said? That has there been anybody yet who has shed any kind of doubt on this idea that the crowd was a problem?
I think just the testimony of some of the witnesses themselves, I think that the state was trying to show that the reason why they were speaking out was they were concerned for the life of George Floyd. Even though I think Donald Williams had an exchange with Officer Tao, who was doing crowd control there, and warned him, you know, don't touch me and that sort of thing. I think the prosecution was trying to show that these people were not necessarily threatening to the officers. They were doing what they could to try to help George Floyd rather than try to intimidate the officers.
I mean, it's not looking great for the defense at the moment, but we really haven't heard their witnesses yet. So what do you expect to hear from their side?
So the defense has said at the beginning of the trial that they were going to call their own experts who will cast some doubt on the prosecution's case that George Floyd's death was primarily caused by Chauvin's use of force. They're going to have their experts talk about George Floyd's underlying medical condition. And they will likely draw some expertise from other use of force or police experts, expert witnesses, who will show that an officer in Derek Chauvin's situation was doing the right thing, doing what he was trained to do.
Now, Maurice Lester Hall, George Floyd's friend who was with him when he was killed, is trying not to testify in the trial. Why is that?
So he was in the car with George Floyd on May 25th last year. And he's a person that George Floyd's girlfriend, Courtney Ross, had testified, who had supplied George Floyd with drugs in the past. Now, in Minnesota, a person can get charged with third-degree murder if they are found to have supplied drugs to somebody who then overdoses on them. And Maurice Hall's defense attorney spoke to the court earlier this week and said he doesn't want to testify because he could incriminate himself and expose himself to a third-degree murder charge. And I imagine if you're a prosecutor, you don't want to have Maurice Hall on the stand being asked questions about drugs and drug use and have him consistently say, you know, I refuse to answer this question because I'm, you know, exercising my Fifth Amendment rights. That's something that I don't think prosecutors would like to see on the stand.
Okay. Brant Williams is a correspondent for Minnesota Public Radio News. Brant, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.